Today being St. Patrick's Day, of course, looking at a whole bunch of different Irish musicians. As I said, we've got the ones that everybody knows. That's one of the slightly more obscure Irish artists there, Jape, an Irish electronic rock band from Dublin with their song Floating. Quite a juxtaposition, I suppose, from Irish electronic rock bands to pangolins right here in Namibia. I've got Kelsey and what looks like her entire team. We got 2, 4, 6 pangolin rangers. Pangolin rangers, there we go. Pangolin Conservation and Research Foundation in the Nai Nai constituency. Good morning, Kelsey. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
So, Kelsey, let's just start with you first. Tell us a bit more about Pangolin Conservation, what exactly it is you guys do.
Yeah, so thanks again for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity to raise awareness for the species. So I am the founder and executive director of PCRF, and we were founded in 2021 to address the gap in pangolin conservation. Mm-hmm. We've got 5 main pillars, and we work in close collaboration with the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, and also sometimes the Namibian police when it comes to rescuing pangolins from the illegal wildlife trade. First and foremost, one of our main focuses is applied research in order to make better informed decisions about the conservation management and planning regarding the species. So everything that we do collects data on pangolins across the board from ecology to local beliefs and traditions. Mm-hmm. And then we take that information and it helps guide us in terms of determining how can we better protect and conserve the species. We also work with the ministry in developing guidelines that helps protect the species further. In addition to the research, one of our main focuses is community engagement. And that's where our pangolin rangers or pangolin guardians come into the picture. We engage directly with the communities to raise awareness and pride for the species to protect them. So we've got part of our ranger team here. Not everyone could make it down. It's quite a journey to come down from the Nai Nai Conservancy. They work directly in their communities, and we provide them the opportunity for jobs as pangolin guardians. A lot of them were previously hunting for sustenance and survival, and now we get to give an opportunity to protect biodiversity. Additionally, I'll just touch on quickly our 3 other main pillars. We do advocacy, so interviews, education, empowering local students with internships through NUST and UNAM. We work together, as I said, with the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism in rewilding. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're confiscated from the illegal wildlife trade still alive. To date, we've collaborated on 36 rescued pangolins since 2021. And then finally, we also do a lot of, as I said, collaboration and capacity building. We've worked together with the ministry to train over 300 nature conservation officers on how to handle those live confiscated pangolins from transportation all the way through to the release.
Sure. Omar, you're going to tell us a little bit or can chat to us a bit. Tell me, what do you do with the communities? How do you work with the communities to sort of help conserve pangolins?
Yeah, what we usually do is that we do outreach to go to visit the communities. So we can teach them. We can learn them why is it the pangolin very important? Why is everyone say this animal is very important? We should protect them, because we teach them what is the importance of the pangolins. The importance of the pangolin is to balancing ecosystem for the pangolin. It's also doing a quite very great job for us out there to the field to make sure the termites are not destroying the whole field grasses and poles, so that we can get poles to make our own crops and to houses, and also some grasses to make houses, because we bushmen, so we are living out of these small houses from the grasses. And also we teach them why is it important, and protecting this animal, we will get this benefit, jobs and education and doing all of those things. So for us to follow all these steps to protect pangolins, it's also great, more jobs, also bring more tourism into our conservancy, and also helping people that were not having any work or didn't go to school, at least just to to learn something out from the Pangolin project so that they can also help themselves in the future. And most of them, as you see in my background, I've got people who are not good at English, only some of them are just speaking in Afrikaans, but at least today they can do something out from Pangolin project.
Mm.
So it's something that we are doing for the project for the people.
Okay.
So
Kelsey, just back to you then quickly, talking about that international wildlife trade, what are pangolins being traded for? I mean, is it a sort of pet thing, an exotic creature that you have in your house, or are there some other reasons that people want pangolins? Why are they wanted?
So that's a good question. They actually don't survive as a pet.
Okay.
Because of their dietary needs. They're very specific in the ants and termites they eat. They could eat up to 15,000 in one night. Yeah. So you can imagine it's very hard for them to survive in a captive setting. The species we have in Namibia is the Temminck's ground pangolin, and it's never successfully been held in captivity due to their dietary needs, but also their stress.
Hmm.
The reason that they're trafficked is actually the illegal wildlife trade, similar to rhino horn. So traditional Chinese medicine uses their scales and body parts, which drives a major international trade.
Mm.
They're also eaten as a delicacy in Vietnam and China, served live at the dinner table. Mm. So there's also a price on their head to be served live. So unfortunately, these major factors in Asia have now begun driving the trade here in Africa. Sometimes confiscations could be up to 20, 30 tons of scales at a time. And those scales come from all over Africa and all over Asia, sometimes amounting over 100,000 animals in one major confiscation. Here in Namibia, we only really pick up on the cases that police detect.
Mm.
A pangolin doesn't leave behind a carcass like a rhino or an elephant. And to date, the average for the last 6 years is more pangolins poached from the wild per year than elephant and rhino combined.
Phew.
The average is roughly 90 pangolins detected poached from the wild per year here in the country. And since 2018, roughly 570 pangolins that we are aware of have been poached. It's estimated we only detect 10 to 20% of the trade.
Yo.
Because all of this falls under the umbrella of international organized crime. There's a lot of things that go undetected because it falls under the same umbrella as money laundering, drug trafficking, all of the other crime is kind of grouped when we're talking on a large scale. Mm. So there is a lot we're not aware of.
So, I mean, just talking about those numbers, and I mean, I've lived in Namibia for 46 years, and I've not seen a pangolin once. How many pangolin do we actually have? Do we know?
We actually don't know. This is one thing that PCRF is trying to address. Unfortunately, due to the lack of funding and the lack of awareness and the lack of support, we've never had a chance to do a national census.
Hmm.
There's maybe one other country that's come up with an estimate. We hope one day to have the funding to do that. In the meantime, we do take data from home range sizes from different habitat types and land use types, and we try to estimate and extrapolate that. Having said that, we still have a lot of work to do. There's very little funding for this kind of work. So I can't say when we'll know. We know that Namibia has strongholds. In areas where there's few people and no electrical fencing, electrical fencing kills more pangolins in South Africa than poaching itself.
Sure.
About one pangolin dies per year for every 11 kilometers of electric fence that's below 30 centimeters. So we have a lot of work to do, and that's why research is so important. We don't know how many are dying from the electric fencing. We don't know what are their top threats, even in their whole range. And our project here in Namibia is one of only two that seeks to answer those questions for this species of looking at their ecology in the wild.
Omar, when you guys are out, how do you find, I mean, like I'm saying, I've been here for 46 years, I've never seen a pangolin. Presumably you guys have seen a whole bunch of pangolin. How do you find them? How do you track pangolin?
Yeah, what we usually do, we normally go just to do our own patrollings. And that we are quite very good in finding spores of everything or like to find live pangolin like this, because in that one, if you're not given attention or pay attention to the pangolin, you are not going to find. You can just like walk next to it, pass by this. Okay. It's a very shy animal. It can smell very far. It can pick up smell very far and hear. And that one is a very, the pangolin is very good in doing that. So you can be like, let me say 100 meters away, and pangolin can already hear you and go back to the burrow sometimes. And if you are very lucky, well, they are busy foraging. Yes, you know, they can. The animal is busy digging, and it cannot hear. So, but yeah, that one you can just walk across it, and it's like under you. Yeah, it's here under the termite. Then you get that. Then you sometimes, but you know, we believe like if it's like this, you are lucky.
And is it nighttime work? I mean, a pangolin, as far as I understood, are more nocturnal than so. You guys are up at night. Walking around.
Sometimes it depends on the weather because they don't like when the sun is very hot and so on. When it's like raining or afternoon time, while you are out like walking around, you can just definitely find one.
Okay.
So.
Cool. Okay, so Kelsey, then I know you guys did a run over the weekend to try and raise some money and raise awareness. How can people get involved? How can people help out if they want to find out more about the pangolin research and about your organization? Where can they do that?
Yeah, so we had a great run. It was a lot of fun. The Rangers even ran in their uniforms and everything. But in terms of public involvement, please, you know, raise awareness. Tell your friends. Check out our website, our Instagram, our Facebook. It's pangolincrf.org. We've also got Instagram and Facebook, which I please recommend you go give us a follow. Share our posts. We try to do a lot of informational and fun and engaging content. Because advocacy is one of our main pillars, we actually try to have an international reach. So you can learn all kinds of fun stuff and share that. It's Pangolin CRF for Instagram, Pangolin Conservation and Research Foundation on Facebook. And further beyond that, you know, we do accept donations towards our work. You can reach out to us directly about that. We don't have any corporate sponsors. Most of our funding to date is actually coming from, as you can hear, I'm American. I've lived here for 8 years. We are a Namibian-based organization, but we have an American branch. We are looking for more local support, especially as we've lost some funding with the recent changes in the U.S. government. So, you know, if anybody wants to support, please give us a shout. We've got all the information on our website and social media.
One last thing, Omar. I just thought, how do you say pangolin in your language?
Hoi.
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 I'm not getting the click right, am I? Well, thank you so much, Kelsey. And thank you guys for coming in.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Miwia. Thank you.
Miwia.